Marianne Cause is an internationally respected scholar of surrealism. Cause has translated many of the movement's major texts. She's also the editor of a book called Surrealism, Themes and Movements, for which she wrote the opening essay. André Breton was the founder of the Surrealism movement. So, naturally, Breton was involved in the moment that marked the beginning of Surrealism, as Marianne Cause told Anne Strangechamps.
In 1923, there was something called magnetic fields. And in fact, the magnetic fields, which were written by Breton and Suppot, are incredibly famous right now because there's an underground group called Magnetic Fields. It's a rock group. And they took the name of this originary document of surrealism called Magnetic Fields.
What was Magnetic Fields, this original document?
They were the idea of magnetism, of course, the opposites attracting each other, and somehow this, like a Hegelian, you know, synthesis, antithesis, that kind of thing. When you have a thesis, antithesis, and it gets a synthesis, that kind of attraction of one element for another, that kind of magnetism is incredibly important. And the idea of fields was the openness that surrealism wanted to be. Breton used to say, the fields are, you take the key and run through the fields, and that is what madness and the art of children is about. And those fields are, I think, the image for the largest possible terrain that surrealism could imagine itself as occupying.
But what was this document, the magnetic fields? I mean, was it fiction, poetry, philosophy?
It's hard to say. It would read more like prose poetry than anything else. It's simply the wandering of the brain, if you like, from these two unconsciousnesses.
At midnight, you will still see the windows open and the doors closed. Music pours from all the holes wherein the microbes and the majuscule worms can be seen dying. But further on, ever further, there are cries so blue that they cause death from emotion. Everything here is blue. The avenues and the main boulevards are deserted. The night is overcrowded with stars, and the song of these people goes up to the sky as the sea retreats in search of the moon. Lightheartedness so weighty and so seldom deceptive as regards the delicate souls of the waves.
Those early surrealists were obsessed with automatic writing, among other things. Did the magnetic fields grow out of automatic writing?
It was the first automatic writing document, yeah, 1923. Absolutely, and the definition of surrealism, the original definition, was automatic writing.
How did they actually produce this automatic writing? What did they do?
You sit at the table, you lean upon your pencil, and you try not to think, and you just let your hand do what it does. This, of course, became really important, you know, in abstract expressionism in the 1940s, because when the surrealists came over to New York, Mata, who was, of course, a surrealist, showed them how to do this, how to doodle or how to do automatic drawing. So automatic drawing and automatic writing both accomplish the same thing. They go past the conscious linear way the mind thinks onto some other way of thinking, into some other realm.
This sounds very Zen, you know, trying to get past thinking.
Yes, I think it is very Zen. And of course, Breton, his later incarnation, as it were, once he'd come back from America and surrealism had really changed in France, when he came back, he became more and more interested in what we would think of as the mystical or the beyond the human thinking experience. And therefore, yes, he was very much of his writing is very close to Zen. And there's been a lot of study of Zen and surrealism, yes.
So surrealism, the way you're describing it now, sounds like it was about a great deal more than just art and about a great deal more than, say, paintings featuring bizarre juxtapositions and combinations of things, you know, a top hat floating in space and a bathtub and some crustaceans.
I think the lyric behavior that it wanted to find itself as being is really very strong. The idea that in the everyday world, if you let yourself be ready for what you might come across, say, in the street or in your mind, if you let yourself be open to that, the whole idea of openness is the essential thing, of course, then the marvelous happens.
So this was really an anti-rationalist movement.
Absolutely.
Why were the surrealists so in love with the unconscious? What was it they thought that would give them or give us?
A kind of freedom from the way we're used to thinking. It opens the world beyond institutional belief and ideologies based on what everything's always been based on. The reason it's so important now, I think, is that that continues, that wish to go beyond the institution and beyond the ways we usually think. And the whole idea of the collective, you know, when you're saying automatic writing, what one of the most interesting things about it and about that champ magnétique, the magnetic fields, is that it was a collective endeavor. That was two people, and very often there were a whole group of them, collective and unnamed. So it was, you know, it was this collective energy based on group experience. And that's proved very important for those of us now writing poetry, I think, and making art of that kind of thing. It's beyond the ego, shall we say.
Those early surrealists, André Breton and the poet Robert Desnos and a bunch of their friends, used to get together for regular meetings like once a week, and they would do practice automatic writing, but they had some other practices also. What were some of the other things?
Well, they played automatic games, and they played games answer, and the queries were always sort of pointed. There was a lot of discussion of sexuality. And there were also the automatic sleeps when they would simply go to sleep into a trance and then write then. They also played that
game. Wait, they
game.
Could write when they were asleep? How can you write when you're
yes,
asleep?
Yes, indeed. And Desnos was the main person who did that. He would simply go into a trance and his hand would write and he would speak.
What sort of things would he say?
Well, it sounds like poetic prose again. Someone would ask him a question, and his answer would be a Zen kind of answer. You know, it wouldn't seem to make sense in the moment, but then it would. I think that Breton was somewhat envious of the hypnotic trances that Desnos, above all, could go into. Now, whether he was putting it on or not, we don't know. We just have no way of knowing, but I don't think that's the important thing, whether it was authentic or not authentic. It still worked, and it's incredibly moving. And all the dream experiences, they had a bureau de recherche on the dream, and they would come in and recount their dreams. Artaud would, in fact, take all these down. He was the head of that bureau for a while. All of this kind of going past the ordinary way of thinking is, I think, what's lasted the best about surrealism.
Do you see shades of surrealism in contemporary art?
A lot, yes, absolutely. And not just in the rock group I was speaking of, but, of course, in a great deal of the abstract expressionists, naturally. But then after that, and I think the whole idea of taking the marvelous, taking these two elements that don't really belong together, and then having that work as an energizing freedom of thinking is what you see in a great deal of contemporary art, more and more.
Well, I was thinking about elements like the automatic writing and the automatic doodling. You could draw a direct line from that to Jackson Pollock throwing paint on a canvas.
And I think that Cy Twombly's, you know, writing on the painting that looks very, very scribbly, all of that makes more sense to us because we know about surrealism. It's the movement that is the most undead of all the 20th century movements, I think, more than Cubism and Futurism and even Dada, which was, of course, its original origin.
I was going to ask whether, in a sense, whether we're all surrealists now.
I like to hope so. And I'd take that in the positive sense of lyric behavior and openness to what might come next. You know, what I've always loved the most is the definition that Breton gave at one point of objective chance, and it was that you could be walking down the street and suddenly you'd come across an object which would give an answer to a question you didn't know you had. That kind of remarkable openness to whatever you might encounter, which they called, of course, the marvelous, seems to me to be ongoing right now. The imaginary is what tends to become the real, said Breton. And I think that's true for many of us thinking, we hope, poetically right now.
Marianne Cause is the editor of and a contributor to Surrealism, Themes and Movements. She spoke with Anne Strangechamps. Actor Steve O'Connell read the excerpt from Magnetic Fields. Here now are Marianne Cause and Steve O'Connell reading an abridged version of Sleep Spaces, a poem from 1926 by French surrealist poet Robert Desnos.
In the night, there are naturally the seven marvels of the world and greatness and the tragic and enchantment. Confusedly, forests mingle with legendary creatures hidden in the thickets. You are there. In the night, there's the nightwalker's step and the murderers and the policeman's and the streetlight and the ragman's lantern.
You are there. In the night, past trains and ships and the mirage of countries where it is daylight, the last breaths of twilight and the first shivers of dawn, you are there. You are most probably there, whom I do not know, whom on the contrary I know, but who, present in my dreams, insist on being sensed there without appearing. You who remain out of reach in reality and in dream, you who belong to me by my will to possess you in illusion, but whose face approaches mine only if my eyes are closed to dream as well as to reality. You, in spite of an easy rhetoric where the waves die on the beaches, where the crow flies in ruined factories, where wood rots, cracking under a leaden sun. You who are at the depths of my dreams, arousing my mind full of metamorphosis and leaving me your glove when I kiss your hand. In the night there are stars, and the tenebral motion of the sea, rivers, forests, towns, grass, the lungs of millions and millions of beings. In the night there are the marvels of the world. In the night there are no guardian angels, but there is sleep. In the night you are there. In the day also.
Actor Steve O'Connell and Marianne Cause, with an abridged version of the poem Sleep Spaces by Robert Denault.